Off the Ball Breakfast.
I'm not going to get into a... I'm not... Bring it to Tommy Rooney to do a power rankings of who's a greater player, Michael Murphy or Aidan O'Shea.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Yes, you are welcome to the LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle with you for this week. The League of Ireland Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. What a week it has been in the League of Ireland. Drogheda United head out of Europe and then head one past Rovers, who got two goals back to get all 3 points at Sullivan and Lamb Park. The Hoops are heading to Dalyman for another top of the table clash, it looks like. Stephen Bradley's in Duff's head. Duff bowing his head to the fans in Dublin 8. Moose heads to Sheffield. And I'm joined by our regular head the balls, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLean. How's the head, lads?
What an intro, Steve-O. I love that. I want that every week.
We'll do our best. We are going to take a quick look at the European draws first, lads. We won't dwell on them too much because we can do a little more preview of them in the first couple of weeks in July when they come up. But look, Shelburne-Linfield. What a draw, Gareth McLean. What a draw.
Wow, makes the mouth water. What a draw is right. It's going to be an unbelievable game. I think if the Shells fans listening to this think it's going to be a Shamrock Rovers Larne, they have got another thing coming. Linfield are a different animal when it comes to Europe. They've good pedigree. The only kind of consolation, we can get into this and more, they've lost two of their best players, Stephen Fallon and Joel Cooper. They've gone to Coleraine. They're massive for them. Top goal scorer last year, three league titles in a row for Joel, and Stephen won 6 titles in 9 years. So bit of a loss for them. I mean, they can pull players from everywhere, Linfield, so I'm sure they'll be, by the time that the match comes around mid-July, they might have a few in the door. But what a game. It just reminds you of Setanta Cup, and it just breaks my heart that we haven't got an All-Ireland Cup, some sort of competition together. But this is the next best thing. What a game. Yeah. Can't wait.
Not in the men's here, anyway. We have the women's All-Ireland, but what are you saying, Vinny?
I think I have that All-Ireland trophy here somewhere. Unite the Union Cup, I think. Look, it's somewhere here.
If you're listening, folks.
Between that and the League Cup, I still have them here in the house. So. Still reigning champion, just saying.
Come here, Vinny. Linfield, Chris Shields, your old buddy there. Has he been giving you any kind of inside information during the week?
I think Chris is suspended for the fourth game from a carryover from last year. That's a bit of a blow for them. I've seen them a bit over the last couple of years. I suppose the big thing for Shelburne is that they're sort of out of season, Linfield, and that's the advantage of this side of the border going to full time and going sort of summer football. It's meant to give us an advantage. The big, let me just explain this best I can. It's funny that the fourth round of Champions League football is very pressurised for the Irish clubs. What do I mean by that is minimal ties generally are thereabouts. And if you win, it gives you, like Chelsea's win against Linfield, they've an outside chance, a good chance of qualifying for a group stage conference. Because of the way UEFA look after the champions route throughout Europe, you go into the second round, I think it's against Carabag. And then when you're knocked out or you're beaten, you basically get a crack at one playoff game for the group stages of the conference. So the Champions route is designed for clubs like Shelburne or Irish champions, Linfield as well, to be fair, or Larne was last year. So it is a really pressurised game for both teams. I think both will a lot riding on it for both teams. And I think it'd be a really tight game. Shells might have slight advantage just being in season, but as much as a lot of people down here are saying it's a good draw for Shells, Linfield are probably saying it could have been a lot worse for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on quickly. Shamrock Rovers, we could have another All-Ireland tie in the same summer because, of course, they've been drawn to face either Cliftonville or St. Joseph's, who gave Shelburne so many troubles last summer. Look, we all want Cliftonville to come through on that one, don't we?
Yeah, I think, and if to be honest with you, I think they will. I think St. Joseph's aren't great. I know Shelburne struggled last year with them, but I expect Cliftonville to come through that. And then if they meet Shamrock Rovers, I expect Shamrock Rovers to beat Cliftonville. That's the way I see that going up. But again, All-Ireland tie, as Vinny said, huge pressure on both clubs. Brilliant to see Cliftonville back in Europe as well. Great club up in the north, great pedigree. That'll be another tasty fixture.
Yeah, and Vinny, of course, the Lithuanian second place team. Well, they finished second last year. They're currently second there ahead of Berg. And if St. Patrick's Athletic go on to win that tie, they'll play either Kalju from Estonia or Partizani from Albania. Like, Stephen Kenny could not have asked for a better draw, really, could he? And I don't want to be kind of, you know, dismissing these teams from these leagues. They might give them a rattle. They might be motivated to come over here. I should say ahead of Berg, but, you know, it is a good draw for St. Pat's.
It is. It's favourable. It could have been a lot worse. I think Stephen has got Europe right for years. Last year was catalyst for them to go on a great run. It must happen for them again. So, again, going back to whether it's Stephen, whether it's Stephen Bradley, there's a bit of pressure on Europe, particularly in those fourth rounds, as I said. But it's not. That's not a straightforward tie. I've started to do a little bit of work on them. We talked about that in a couple of weeks, but in a strange way, they might have had the most difficult tie, Pats, believe it or not. So we'll see how that plays out.
Luke Byrne, the COO of Shelburne, technical director of Shelburne, was at the draw with Mossy Quinn during the week, and he spoke afterwards and just was, you know, talking about how it's great to be back with Shells in the Champions League, but then was very quick to move on and say, look, we've got a lot of important league games before that, and it all starts this weekend with Derry City, Gareth McGlynn. Shelburne, I think, will be buoyed by that victory at St. Pat's on Monday. Quick turnaround then to play Derry City. What's the mood like around the Brandywell at the moment? Because it's been just so inconsistent over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it has been, and it didn't change any last week against Galway. 1-1. Funny, going into the game, I was thinking, this is going to be a pure defensive boar fest, but the first half was actually very, very good. Both teams going with it. Galway not playing as defensive as they want. Derry City created three or four good chances. Should have been at least two goals to the good. Wasn't the case. Galway got their early goal, and then kind of stayed the formation until half time, but it was pretty evident John Coffey and Ollie Horgan were going to change it at half time, and that's exactly what they did. They went five at the back, three in midfield flat, and two up front, and Derry City never laid a glove on them in the second half. It was basically Galway saying, we're going to give it 45 minutes. If we can get in front or get ourselves in front or get a draw at half time, we're going to contain it. And that's exactly what they did. They were brilliant. Derry just didn't have the answers. So Derry against the home against Drogheda, who's next after the doubleheader in Dublin, they struggle because they haven't got the players to break it down. And it's really, there's an underlying current in the Brandywell that just wants them to be able to go and be expansive and beat teams at home, but they don't have the players and they don't have the setup. So going away now to Shells Friday night, St. Pat's on Monday, I'm actually not fearful for Derry because they're set up to do well in those games. They will go with the flat five. Sorry, they'll go 3-3-5-1-1. They'll play a box in the middle, but they will be very defensive and they'll not give them any chances away. They'll try to hit them in the break. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think I had a pop a little bit at the supporters and the media over the weekend just reporting on the game. The reporters were basically given out and the fans were given out about Derry City not challenging for the league or not being up there. And I completely disagree with it. Derry City are not... I would ask them, why are they frustrated? They can't challenge with the league just by throwing money at it. And you would say that as well. This perspective of just because you throw money at it, you can challenge for a league. It doesn't happen in any other league, or it hasn't happened in any other league in the world. You just throw money at something and it gets better. It's got to be built by connections. The club, the fans, the manager and the players. And to me, that four-legged stool at Derry City, there's two or three legs that aren't stable. I was at a fans forum on Saturday after the game and there was 40 to 50 people turned up to the game. There's something wrong there. There's a disconnect that the club need to get right and they haven't got enough people off the pitch. They're investing loads of money on the pitch, loads of money in the manager, the backroom staff, the players. Off the pitch, they are decades behind.
That is interesting. And look, Tierney Lynch, he's only in the door. He's playing in a different league as well. It's going to take him time to build that squad to what he wanted to be. He'll need a couple of transfer windows. So perhaps, look, a bit of patience is needed around the brand new Vinny. Just briefly on Shells, as Garrett's saying there, he expects a defensive setup from Derry City. That's not ideal for a Shelburne team that's been struggling to score goals this season.
No, but Derry still have to come out and play. And there's a lot of what Garrett said. He's closer to the bone there that I wouldn't necessarily agree with when it comes to Derry. I mean, teams have come from a relatively short period of time turning it around. I mean, are on paper Derry any better or worse than, say, Bowles, for example, at the moment, for Shelburne at the start of last season? No, it's just, so it's up to the players and the manager on the pitch to get the fans on board. I don't buy into you know, expecting that connect to come. It comes from results, and fans can play a part. But when you go back to Shelburne real quickly, I think we've seen the best and the worst that time to Shelburne over the last couple of days. The Shamrock Rovers game, tactically they were very poor in the day. They made a hell of a lot of mistakes in that game from a tactical point of view, whether that was on the training ground or whether that was players' application. But for example, Derek Wilson went in after and tried to man-mark Jack Warren on Friday night, and they were completely outclassed in midfield by Mahili. Mahili, I mean, I've been saying it for a while, he's close to the best player in the league. He does all the simple things really, really well. He dominated that game. And what they did then was, and I've spoken this at times before in terms of, but on Monday night against Pats, they went almost back to what they were very good at last year. The difference is they played a back three, but in midfield, they played Mark Coyle, Lunny, and Harry Wood. Harry Wood, for 45 minutes, is the best I've seen him in a long... Like, it was one of the best performances I've seen from anybody this season. Harry Wood was exceptional. And he had Boydy up front with Ali Cook. And it was almost closer to what they are. And that has to be a lesson for me. For Damien and his staff to go, Pat's created a few chances, but it's easy to play when you're 1-0 down. Okay, Derry or Shelburne were exceptional for a long period of time in that game, and that has to be a wake up call for everyone in that club to go, we probably need to play this way. So, it's a big test coming up for Shells over the next couple of weeks. They've come off the levels. They don't want to hear that. They don't accept it from people like me. I'm not listening, so that's grand. I can say what I'm thinking. So they've got to get back to what they did, for example, for 45 minutes. It's the best they've been since probably the fourth game of the season on Monday night. And that's because of the structure of the team. And what they're doing is not good. And they need to be careful as Europe comes around that they're back playing with confidence. So they have a big week or two ahead of them.
They sure do, and they go away to Waterford on Monday in this weekend's doubleheader. So it's a really big weekend for Shells, and I think that Shells-Derry game is probably one of the, arguably the games of the weekend. Really looking forward to see what happens there. However, I won't be watching it live because I'll be down at the RSC with the great Johnny Dunleavy, who had a brilliant debut on the microphone alongside myself for Cork City against Shells a couple of weeks ago on Off the Ball. Waterford versus Bohemians, that is our live game for you on Friday night. You can tune in on News Talk and also listen on the Go Loud app. It'll kick off at 7:45 at the same time as the rest of the games. Just as a little preview to that, Vinny, I might ask you about a man you know very well, because a lot of plaudits, and rightfully so, going to the likes of Dawson Avoy, Ross Tierney, Sean Graham, Casper Hrask has been playing really well for Bohemians. Left back, Jordan Flores. He's been there through all the really bad times for Bohs over the last couple of years. He's put up with an awful lot of stick. He's, you know, maybe got some deserved criticism for some of his defending over the last couple of years. But I tell you one thing, he has been in sensational form over the last few weeks and has been a real driver in this Bohs team. What have you made of his performance at left back, which is not really his position?
Yeah, like I obviously managed Jordan. We brought him in from, he's a Wigan lad. We brought him in at the time, and it took him a while to settle into Irish football. And he picked up an injury actually in a pre-season camp. It still hurts me actually, that injury, because we were doing a shooting game at the end and I set a ball from him and he struck a ball. He popped his quad, I think, at the time. And remember, that really hurt me at the time, because it was, he was flying. And it took him a long time to get over that. And he was trying to get into a fairly good side at the time. But Jordan has unbelievable quality. The area of the game that Jordan had to improve then was, I don't like using the mental side of it, but that is the easiest way to explain it, in terms of he has all the quality. He has all the technical ability to play even higher than our level. It's just whether he could carry that. And he felt it, almost felt like he felt a little bit of pressure sometimes. But over the last couple of weeks, he showed that quality for balls. He showed a lot of leadership over the last year or two. When things weren't going well, you could sense a bit of a leader in Jordan that I didn't always see. The fact that he's played a centre-half, left-back in different positions shows his versatility. And I think if you go back to the goal against Cork, he scored a couple of weeks ago, you remember where he's coming from left-back and the weight of his pass, that ability to pick out a pass where I'm not sure who got down the side. Ultimately, Ross Tierney has a shot and he scored the back post.
It was Meekison, yeah.
Meekison, sorry. But Meekison doesn't need to stop his stride. It's just, he just glides onto the ball because Flores, the weight of this pass. Mm. And as a lefty, Jordan has all the quality of a lot more quality than a lot of players in our league. I often wondered about his physicality, get box to box. But at left back, he's been brilliant. And you know what? He's a really, really great fella. A lot of time for Jordan. And he settled really well in Ireland over the last couple of years. He seems to have settled down quite a lot. He's got very close family in Wigan to him. Loves his rugby league. His family loves his rugby league, as you can imagine, that part of the world. And good luck to him. I'm delighted to see him do so well because he's a really talented footballer.
Yeah, his passing has been sensational. And as you say, like, he's been through so many tough times here. It's nice to see him on the crest of a wave and playing really well. Gareth, I suppose Waterford, there's a bit of a concern for them now. I watched their match against Sligo on Saturday. Thought Sligo were very impressive. They were under pressure going into that game. They've made another signing this week. John Russell, of course, is scouting worldwide and trying to pick up players wherever he can. But they had a really good performance. I thought John Mahon was brilliant in that game. He was like, I compared him to a presidential bodyguard throwing himself in front of bullets in the box, and probably the best John Mahon performance I've seen in a while, so fair play to him. But Waterford, like, is there a chance they might get sucked in to this relegation battle? Where's my table gone? Waterford, 8th position on 23 points. They're 8 clear of Sligo Rovers and 10 of Cork City, but they need to turn around. Coleman's had one win since he came in, his first match, and then hasn't had one since.
That was a massive game, Steve. I mean, away to your closest rivals. Had they have got picked up a draw or picked up a one in that game, it really causes a massive gap. And I know 8 points seems like a lot, but it's not that much. We're only just past halfway. So I do see them getting dragged into it, and I see them getting dragged into it pretty quickly. And not because of Waterford, but also because of what Sligo and Cork could potentially produce. These aren't T2 Van Harps and UCDs that I'd be used to having been in the league too. These are two teams well capable of putting a run together. And you see it with Sligo. Sligo are incredible at the front end of the pitch. I mean, you only have to look at Will Fitzgerald, 6 assists, Owen Eldon, 7 goals. All the front men are dangerous. They just need to plug a hole in that midfield, that centre midfield. Hayes is very important to them. He just never seems to be fit or never gets a run of games. If they can get him back and doing well in the centre midfield, they will have a chance. Waterford, on the other hand, I don't kind of think they're that bad at the top end of the pitch. Almond, Lonergan and Noonan. I mean, I think they've got enough goals there. It's just the centre half. Leahy again, playing centre half with Dempsey, it just does not scream out League of Ireland centre half's going to keep you a clean sheet. They're very good technically. I was impressed with them the 3 times I've seen them live this year, Waterford, but they've got that fragileness that just you just never feel convinced. Even if they have 55, 60, 65% possession, they always give up chances. And when you've not got a defence that's well structured and people who are good at playing centre half, like Radowski and Boyle, then you're going to cause problems. You're going to concede goals. You're going to concede chances. So I would be very worried for Waterford.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only quick thing on Waterford, Steve, is, and there's been a bit of criticism for obvious reasons, the multi-club ownership. I'm not completely against it. I understand the benefits of it for certain clubs. particularly the smaller clubs who can't compete in a country like Ireland. It gives them a boost. You'd imagine they'll get some good loan signings in with their contacts in the UK, and that might be enough to get them over the line. But Gareth's right, they need to keep one eye over the shoulder, because Cork or Sligo should be targeting catching Waterford.
Listen, moving on to Shamrock Rovers play Cork City this weekend as well, and it's going to be interesting just to see how Jerry Nash and David Myler get on their first trip to Tallaght Stadium. That one kicks off as well at 7:45. Something that's interested me with Cork City, and I said it to Jerry Nash after the match against Shells, you know, what's the crack with Greg Bulger? And he came off the bench against Shelburne, he came off the bench against Bohemians. The Shelburne game, he had a big impact because he really, I suppose, just pulled that defence together. It's not a great defence that Cork City have, and the supporters have been critical of it. And I know they've obviously got a bit of youth there in Freddie Anderson. But I'm just wondering how long before Greg Bulger starts in that team, because he's the kind of player I think they need, Gareth, at the moment, just that kind of experience, just to try and get that team looking a little bit stiffer at the back and not conceding as many goals.
Yeah, big time, especially going to. And I watched the Shamrock Rovers Drogheda match on Monday night. Shamrock Rovers were excellent, really, really good. So I expect Cork to be up against it. I don't expect Shamrock Rovers to, like the Galway match just before the break, to be just off it a wee bit. I expect to be humming, ready to go. And the middle of the park, Evan McLaughlin and Sean Murray. Listen, Sean Murray's used to playing in that position. He'd be very, very good. Evan McLaughlin is not used to playing that deep centre midfielder. He's more of a 10. When he played for Derry, he always played in the 10 or maybe high in the left of a 3 or on the right of a 3, with little or no defensive responsibilities. Played left wing back with Cork. When you're left wing back and you get exposed, you get beat, you've still got the defensive midfielder in the back 3 or 4 to beat. See, when you lose the ball or are out of position in the front of your back 4 or 5, then the players are running straight at the centre half. Bulger doesn't let that happen. He puts out fires. He's experienced. He knows what it's like playing at Tallaght against a good Shamrock Rovers team. So you're right, he's massive for them. Listen, if he's, maybe they're just easing him back into it for this game, but if he's anywhere near 90, 95, 100% fit, to me, he's got to come straight in and play. Because, like, and it's funny, you mentioned Flores beforehand. Flores is coming to the fore because if you look at the average age of Bowes, it's 24.9 years of age. Mm. Flores is a leader. He has to take on the leader, the responsibility. Bulger is that for Cork with a young, talented team. These guys are so, so, so important. So they need him back for Friday night.
Yeah, Murray and McLaughlin, two very good midfielders there. We just feel that experience that Bulger had coming off the bench. And you can see him, he's like a music composer, almost directing the players around the pitch. And definitely, and of course, I should have mentioned he was coming back from injury. So that's why, obviously, he's coming off the bench in those games. But Nash was saying to me, he wants to be starting. He's not happy with sitting on the bench. Finney, just on Rovers quickly, I'm not sure if you saw it. Did you see the game on Monday night against Drogheda United? And obviously the game you would have seen on Friday. I feel they're a little bit weak defending set pieces. Obviously the Drogheda United goal came from a corner kick. Is that something Cork City might be looking at going into this game?
Yeah, it is. It's funny. I think from an attacking point of view, that's one of their strengths in terms of Cleary, Lopez, whoever else plays in that position. Obviously Cleary's got a couple of goals recently. So it feels like that's an opportunity for them to score set pieces. Defensively, they've conceded a few. I don't see it as a major problem for them, to be honest with you. I think that happens. It's sort of one of them things that happens. McGinty hasn't hit the form yet. I don't think he hasn't commanded his box enough. He's been a bit of a drawback for them, even the goal against Drogheda. Like, it's in the air a long time. Yes, it's a decent ball, but where it lands, you'd like to see him being commanding. So there is a small frailty there, but it's not something, if I was Stephen Bradley, I'd be overly worried about. Man, when you get everyone on the pitch, you think of those centre-halves, Lee Grace, Lopez and Cleary. That's really, really strong. Healy's not a small boy either. He can deal with the stuff. Josh Boonan as well. So they're quite good defensively, I think. Sometimes a ball is just so good that you just can't defend against it. And the ball was excellent for Drogheda the other night in the goal. But I do think McGinty has to be a bit more commanding. Just just to come and catch one and take the pressure off your defenders.
Yeah, well, Shamrock Rovers will be at home to Cork City, and Cork City will play on Monday at home against Drogheda United. And then, of course, Shamrock Rovers away to Bohemians on Monday night. The big Dublin derby, top of the table clash. We'll discuss that maybe more in the coming, or in the week, next week, I should say, after the game itself. Just quickly, lads, Galway against St. Patrick's Athletic on Friday night. I think Galway United might be fancying this one, Gareth.
Oh, big time. And I fancy Galway United that one as well. I've watched enough of Galway and Pats this year to turn around and say the way Galway performed in the second half against Derry, they were immense. They were really, really good. The people that come off, Boulder came off the bench, he was immense. He never gave anything away. The good thing about Galway now, I know they're kind of, they have been switching the centre-half partnership for quite a while, but anybody that comes off the bench, and Alan Murphy touched on it post-match, anybody that comes on knows exactly what they're doing. Isua was unbelievable. I was doing it for LOIT at the weekend. I couldn't believe Isua hasn't got a yellow card this year. He was immense against Derry. He never ever goes into a tackle unless he takes the ball. He was bright. He never goes to ground. He's a threat going the other way. He was masterful. And I know they lost Kazim on the left hand side, who was just as good. But to me, Pats picked the wrong player. I think if they had went to Isua, he would have added real value to the Pats team. So I see Galway going into that shape that they finished the Derry match with, five at the back, three in midfield, and the two up front. And the two up front can cause problems. Dyer, the techie, the people coming off, Stephen Walsh, the new player that they signed as well, came on with about 15 minutes to go. He was excellent. He was almost a carbon copy of Moses, only a wee bit taller. So I don't know whether they're thinking about putting the two of them up front beside each other. But let me tell you, I wouldn't like to be defending against the team when that happens, because they were both excellent.
Yeah, just quickly to finish, Vinny, St. Pat's going into this weekend, very tough weekend, away to Galway United and at home to Derry City. Not ideal fixtures when you've had a run of eight games with four defeats and two draws. You've dropped points in six matches out of the last eight. This is a very important weekend, I think, for Stephen Kenny and St. Patrick's Athletic.
Yeah, it is. The only shining light at the moment is their league position is still fourth, and because no one is getting away other than Shamrock Rovers, they're still there, thereabouts in terms of European football. I know Stephen has said it's going to take time to win leagues and all that stuff, but that's nonsense, because Stephen Kenny believes in winning the league title. He would have started the season thinking he can win the league title. A lot of chopping and changing going on in the team. Three subs. All is not right at Pats for whatever reason. I'm not saying there's a problem in the sense of players, manager. I'm not suggesting that in any way, shape or form. But what they're doing on the pitch is not good enough. They're way off the levels for the quality of the player they have, the squad they have. Someone has to ask why. Things could be bad luck, all of them things. They need Europe to come quickly to give them a different focus. But look, this league is a great way of putting egg in your face. They could win both matches and be sitting in second, yeah, as we talk next week. But I have a real fear the way they're playing. It is not going well for Pats at the moment. It doesn't look like they've got cohesion. They haven't found their best team. Serge and Mulroney's been in, out. They don't know how to play Melia and Keane together. Their midfield is short. They've chopped and changed a centre-half. They have four full-backs, and not one of them has cemented that spot for themselves. But so did their goalkeeper. It's been a disappointing scorecard from halfway through the season. And as I said, they're currently fourth. You know, they may be able to win these two games this week. But Pat's minimum standard has to be qualifying for Europe this year. They're in that position at the moment, currently in fourth, technically. They've got to do a hell of a lot better. It's not good enough what's coming out in Jordan Road.
And I think, Stephen, what happened, if you look at last year, Europe was the catalyst to that run at the end of the season. So Stephen will be looking for something similar, but it hasn't been good for the first half.
Yeah, and look, they've been unlucky with injuries. Chris Forrester out, Rommel Palmer out as well. Two really key players.
So is everybody, Steve. Jeez. Yeah, everybody's
I think you do have to like just add that in as well while you're discussing it. It is fair enough, I think. But listen, lads, a little bit tighter this week for time, so we've had enough there. And Vinny, we didn't get a chance to ask you about how do you actually beat Linfield, but we'll have to do that some other time, won't we?
It's a 7-1 chance, Steve. 7-1.
It's been great, lads. Before we go, I just want to tell everybody Off the Ball is coming to Galway. Join us on June 27th for a League of Ireland special in Tribes Bar at Eamon DC Park, of course, ahead of Galway United's Premier Division clash with Shelburne. We'll be joined by some very special guests, Brian Kerr, Joe McGuckin, Maeve de Burka and Ricky O'Flaherty. The tickets are free but limited, so grab yours now at offtheball.com/events. All thanks to Rockshore, hashtag A League of Our Own. Lads, it's been a pleasure. We'll chat to you next week.
The League of Ireland pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Off the Ball breakfast.
I'm not going to get into a... I'm not... Bring it to Tommy Rooney to do a power rankings of who's a greater player, Michael Murphy or Aidan O'Shea.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.